This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Our website is ccc.qbook.tv, where you can find other audio and video episodes with photos, links, and information related to today's conversation. Subscribe to leave comments and access research episodes with applied topics and research reports. Welcome to Talk of Asian Marketing, and today we have a kind of a continuation of a topic we've been talking about, and that of course is retail centers, supermarkets, hypermarkets, and today specifically continuing on with Walmart only. We're going to center on Walmart in China. Specifically, we went out and shot some videos, some photos of Walmart in Shanghai. And to continue this discussion, to join me again is Jane Liu, who is from Taiwan Zhongxin University in the marketing department. Jane, welcome back.
Hi, everybody. This is Jane Liu from National Zhongxin University. Glad to be here.
And joining us is our resident expert on the European version of Walmart, which is Tesco. And we talked earlier about UK and some developments there, is, of course, our very well-known James Stanworth. Welcome back, James.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Jane. It's real nice to be here. And, of course, real nice to be getting right into this whole thing of Walmart, particularly over in Shanghai. And I think this is going to be a nice contrast to what you guys talked about before, about how Walmart works over in the U.S.
Yeah, this is a really good contrast. And I know, James, you and I were together on a trip recently, so we took advantage of that. We're going to have a future show. I think it's going to be our next show is going to center on Tesco in Shanghai. But today we're going to have a little bit of an eye-opener on Walmart. So let's just jump into it. And what I want to start out with is to draw attention of our readers. If you're listening to this podcast over RSS feed or you're getting it from iTunes, why don't you stop by the website at ccc.qbook.tv, where you're going to see in this episode a lot of photos. We have nearly 50 photos and 6 great videos. I think you two have just taken a look at those videos. I think I am correct to tell our listeners, don't miss the videos because they are great.
Oh, Clyde, yeah. I mean, I just love the videos that we've got with this show. The one that really, really, really caught my eye was this spot that you found in the store where you just pick up your fresh, you know, like fresh lettuce or fresh meat, and then just like you do outside, you just put it in a little box, they take it right over, and they cook it right in the store there for you. I thought that was just amazing. I think that really sets the tone for how Walmart's operating over there.
Yes, that's a good one. Why don't we start off at the beginning, entering the store, and I'm going to kind of just tell a story, I think, and we'll, you know, you two just jump in whenever you want and mention things. Let's start at entering the store. The outside looks like a super center. It says a Walmart super center, no big difference, no big deal. They're, of course, located in a similar way as in the U.S., outside of city centers. This store is as close as you can get to being downtown in Shanghai as possible, and even that's not very close. Most of the Walmarts are pretty far out. But the even far out from a city center, of course, in China, population density is really high. So it's a crowded area. You walk in, you've got Sam Walton welcoming you at the front door. I almost felt like I was back in a Walmart in the 80s when we used to see Sam's picture around a lot. Don't see that much anymore. And they've got him welcoming you and telling you how you have excellence in the store, emphasizing that excellence through performance. And I think that's probably a slogan that's been plastered around China for a while. So people recognize this gentleman, old gentlemanly kind of guy, and a lot of people know him probably as being a very successful businessman. So you go in, and the first thing in the store was, wham, we got hit with overwhelming gold and red colors, and the reason was it was a double month festival holiday combining mid-autumn festival with the anniversary of the Communist Party, the 60th anniversary. So it was a double whammy, And the,
you must be talking about picture two, is that it, Clyde?
Yes, I mean, this, yes, exactly.
Yeah, this is, wow, this is like almost floor to ceiling, isn't it?
That
must be like about 3 meters high. This is just massive.
It's totally overwhelming. It's a bit shocking, actually. You know, you walk in there. I think a three is still outside the store. Those are the lockers as you walk in. But if you want to see the promotion, you have to look at video number one, and you have a big arch and lots of advertisements, lots of slogans going on there. Very interesting. Even at Christmas in the U.S., I don't think it plays such a big role. But again, if you look at any of the research we've been doing locally, you know, that idea of getting the Zonal feeling just even through the signage is so important, and Walmart's just picked up on that big time. You go into the store. Yeah.
I've noticed that in the States, there are a lot of stuff posted outside of these super centers or supermarkets. The customers rarely pay any attention to those details. But in picture number two, we can see there is a customer kind of look into the details in there. Sometimes they post it just way too high, and then the print is too fine, it's hard to read, and then people are kind of rushed into the stores. They pass it by, but not paying any attention. But here in Shanghai, yeah, people really kind of
that's a great point.
Read into it. Yeah.
I think what I see mostly at Walmarts in the U.S. is basically it's the newspaper flyer just posted up on the wall. Here, what you've got is, you know, major signage James just pointed out. I mean, it's the whole wall with these huge signs. But if you spend any time in Taiwan, this doesn't look that unfamiliar. In fact, this picture number two, picture number three, really reminds me of Xiaobei Baihua, where you just outside you're getting plastered with all of these signage and sales.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
prices.
Yeah. You know, I was just going to say that, Clyde. And the thing that really kind of seals the deal is those big lights, you know. It's just, look at those big lights up there, big bright lights. That's just Xiaobei all over, isn't it?
Exactly. And it really has that look. And I think that if you were fresh from the West walking in here, I mean, Walmart's never considered a high-end kind of classy place in the States anyway. But here, I think you might be overwhelmed that it really feels like it's chaotic, out of control, and a mess, which is just so perfect for the localized market. And that's really the thing that took me by surprise. I walked in, as we see in video number one, video number two, go into the store a bit, and what do we get hit with? As soon as you're in the store, you get hit with the promotion people. Loudspeakers, bullhorns, microphones jammed right up there, distortion, overmodulation, just amazing cacophony of sound coming through the store. And then combine that with the kids running around screaming and yelling, and then music. They're playing Chinese songs, pop songs in the background, quite loud, actually. It was just an overwhelming auditory experience.
I think they created that kind of store atmosphere on purpose, so people go into Walmart don't feel like it's a foreign store. It's the store for the local people. They want to make people feel like they are here. They are here to shop at Walmart in Shanghai, not to a foreigner's store that they don't know anything about it.
That's a great point. James, take a look down there at picture 14. It's in the video, but 14 captures it well, too. Your little motif, a little stand, a demo person there, blasting into the microphone. And these were not, I want to emphasize, these were not company representatives, although there are some later. We have some Haagen-Dazs people, for example. Most of these people look like they're in Walmart, working for Walmart. There was an overwhelming number of service staff just everywhere, and half of them seem to have bullhorns yelling about the special price they got.
Well, you can see here in the picture 14 you've just mentioned there, Clyde, and that's just such a typical way of giving service. And the clever thing that I really like about that is that, well, there's a couple of things that come out from that. One is that they're right there by the product, so that the customer comes up, they want to know something about it, you know, what's in this product, you know, is it meat, and if so, what meat, and has it cooked, and all the lots of product details. People are real hungry for that, and they're right there, and they'll just hammer right in on on the product, and then the customer might come right back, and how do I eat it, how do I prepare it, what do I do, and da-da-da-da. All this detail, they're right there, ready to give. Now, the other thing you notice is she's talking to the guy. He's there on the left, she's there on the right. She's got the microphone right up there. So what's happening? She's not only communicating with him, but everyone else all at the same time as well. So normally you find that there's that little point of connection, this guy here, and I bet you a couple of minutes later there's a whole group of other people getting drawn in, intrigued, sucked into that little bit of contact that's going on. So it's kind of, it works both at the one-on-one, but also it starts to build group interest in the product as well, as she just she's talking out. You hear them do this lots of places. You see it in other hypermarkets too. You know, even the simple instructions of this is how much your product weighs and then this is how much it is, and you hear it going out through the microphone, everyone gets sucked in and the excitement builds.
Totally. It's very exciting. Just tons of sound. And if you watch the video, you can't really see it in the pictures, but you watch the video, the sound is what really got me. It was a very noisy store. And I've just never seen any Walmart like that. And one of the things that made it noisy was just its crowdedness. It was so packed. Look at picture 29, 30, 31, 32. And of course, Walmart is famous for having the pallets they drop on the floor, you know, on the aisleways. I think they're kind of the innovator in this. They just take off the plastic, dump it in the middle. But this is extreme. It was just overwhelming product everywhere. And lots of little aisleways. It just made a maze. Lots of little aisleways cutting everywhere. There's actually very few. This is in the food section. The whole first floor is food. There was very few actual aisles. In other words, there was not much shelving. I would say about 62-thirds, maybe 65% of the store on the first floor were just these islands everywhere.
Yeah, but people kind of get used to it. They know how to kind of drive the cart and in between, and then try to go to every corner, just not to miss a big sale in the store. And kind of the customers are used to it, so the way they do it is not new for the local people.
Well, I think a great thing would be go back and look at our wet market show in Shanghai. Me and James went to the wet market, and it really looks like that. A bunch of stands everywhere.
But, you know, that's just it, Clyde, you know. It takes a local consumer just to hit it on the head, isn't it? I mean, the customer is just so good at navigating around. And actually, what are they navigating around? They're looking for any little corner where there might be a bargain hidden away, some great thing that you can just pop in your cart. And, I mean, that's one thing that's just popped right out from our research that we've done, that stores often, particularly Western stores, focus on the layout, the smooth flow of customers who are very organized in a Western sense with shopping lists and so on. Whereas here, people sort of flow around the store in terms of looking out for bargains, new products, interesting points. So the whole process of shopping is different. I think that's just that.
I know that's come
great.
Off in your come out in your research a lot, James. This idea, I think it's very suitable. And what surprised me is exactly what you're saying, that Walmart's been able to tap into that. You know, usually with these kinds of stores overseas, you have managers come in and managers deal with things that they can, you know, get their heads around easily. And what do they know? They know the layout. They know the display. They know the ends of the aisles. They know these important points for sales. What they don't know is that maybe the locals don't have any feeling towards that at all. And like Jane says, you know, exploration. The store really looks like it's about exploration, and that's what surprised me. Because the Walmart back in the U.S., yeah, you can explore it, but as we came up when Jane and I were talking, actually that bugged me. You know, finding things was really a hassle in Walmart, and they do everything they can to make it so you can find things, map it out, the signage and everything. But in Shanghai, I didn't feel that at all. It was definitely an exploration. And so many service people there pushing so many products. I also had a feeling it was almost educational. In other words, there were a lot of people here to help you figure out what to do, how to do it, and where to get it.
I think the difference is that in the States, that Walmart trying to make it friendly to the customers to find out the things they want so they can go into the store and find the products and then leave the store. Here, the Walmart in Shanghai is trying to keep the customers in the store. So the customers will spend more time in there. Kind of they will enjoy the shopping. It's more like a leisure activities on weekends in the evening, or for those people that who have time to stay there. So the longer they stay, maybe the more they would shop.
That's just so resonant, isn't it? The idea of leisure and spending it shopping, and it's just such a flexible feast. When you go shopping, you wander around, but then if you get called off to do something else, or you just drop it and you go. It's just, I love that Chinese concept of leisure. It's just so low commitment to anything else that you might have to suddenly do.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, you know, it has a lot to do with, as Jane says, drawing people into the store, having some exploration, because Walmart is still kind of a new concept there. And I think also price-wise, there was tons of fresh food, lots of fresh food, which you can see in videos 3 and 4. I was really impressed. It beats out anything I've seen in Taiwan as far as the supermarkets have been doing, which, you know, we've talked about before. They've had struggled with competing with the wet market. It's almost like there's a wet market right in there. And in fact, I have this fantastic picture of a butcher there cutting up the meat. If I can see which picture it is. I got too many of these. Picture 7, 8, lots of food, 10, 11, 12, tons of food everywhere. 15, 16, 17, 18, 16, there we go. Look at that guy. They had a butcher right there, lots of fresh meat, and look at the fresh meat on 15. It is not covered. It is not behind glass. It's touchable, movable, manipulatable. And shoppers were all over it.
Customers just doing, yeah, just right there. And then Clyde, in there, they got a little wash basin nearby, because this is often what other stores do, put a little wash basin nearby, because, you know, they've anticipated the customer's going to do just this, touch the produce, now it's real nasty, your fingers are like greasy or whatever. So they take care of that, or...
That's good. I didn't notice that. I didn't see one. I'm not sure that they don't. But it was not just here. Lots of produce was wide open, touchable. James, if you look at picture 22, and I think one of our videos has it too, we saw it in Tesco, which we'll talk about in the next show, where the vats of seeds for soups and snacks, and people just run their hands in it and run the seeds through it.
I just love that word, a vat of stuff. I mean, that's just China, isn't it?
I think they took the idea from the wet market, just kind of built into the Walmart system. So they feel like that if they give customers the option to touch the food and choose what they like, and then more likely the customers feel satisfied with the products they purchase at the Walmart.
Yeah, as we all know, as we've talked about many times, poultry is such an important part of the Chinese diet, pork. And go to any wet market and people touch and move and manipulate. I mean, during one of my research projects, I've been so frustrated that I just can't figure out what the difference between any of these chickens are. I'm not sure what these shoppers spend 10, 20 minutes examining these darn chickens. And Walmart's done a great job to just make that not only possible, but easy.
Well, for Chinese, touching the food to feel the texture is important in the purchasing decisions. But they want to feel the softness or the freshness out of this fresh produce using the fingers, not just on this visual contact. They want to touch it. They want to feel it. They want to kind of weigh it using their own hands.
Yeah,
before they
great.
Purchase it.
That's a great point. Photo 23, the chickens, the whole chickens, feet, heads, everything right there, ready to be checked out. But then I found something really interesting. So we walk into the store. I think the first thing is overwhelming product everywhere. Mazes, noises, demos, excitement, talking, yelling. Go into the store, lots of fresh food, meats, poultries, lots of that. get back into the store, not up front. I was really surprised by this. Deep into the store, tons of ready-to-eat food. And the first thing that popped into my mind were Taiwan wet markets. You know, in the last, 15 years, Jane, I think we've seen a lot of wet markets really change emphasis from not only just buying your food supplies, but to buying ready-to-eat fish and chickens, baked chickens, fried materials that you can actually grab and take out with your family and eat right away. Walmart's got that in spades. Tons of ready-to-eat rolls and buns and all kinds of foods.
Yeah, I believe there's one important point here that a lot of females are working today, and then especially in Shanghai, that young couples don't spend that much time in the kitchen cooking for a family. They do need to go into a store and purchase some ready-to-eat or easier to process and then ready-to-eat and these kind of food items for the family. So they can save some time, and then they can still like eat with the family in a traditional way.
Yeah, I think that's just that idea of, because when you see the ready to eat, it's quite different from the UK sort of model of something that's cellophane wrapped, you know, that you're going to put in the microwave. It's still fresh food that's been cooked, isn't it? So people still have a traditional sense. It's kind of a halfway house, but with a very strong Chinese flavor. You're sort of picking up something that your mum might have cooked and then taking that back home to eat. I think it's real, really nice.
Yeah, what really got me is I think that when I've been in Beijing, when I've been in Shanghai, one of the big differences I see in Singapore also from Taiwan is, and Hong Kong, is Hong Kong and Taiwan have a lot of street vendors, easy to get things fast. I think if you want noodles, you want something like this in Taiwan, you just go to a street vendor, you get it. I think because of legal regulations in Singapore I know about, I think also in China it's highly regulated, there's just not that many vendors on the street everywhere. What I really love is Walmart has taken the local consumer's tendencies or preferences and buried them into the store. So if you want some noodles, as you guys were just saying, to go out and take home to eat, you can't just walk in the front of the store. You're going to have to go to the back of the store and get them, which is really interesting. And people were doing it, which is showing maybe you can combine it with a little bit of shopping, or Walmart knows that people just love this so much that they're willing to travel through the maze and get to the back. I think anyone who just looked at it off the top of their head might say it's a mistake. But when I looked at it, it just worked perfectly. And it didn't seem to bother people. They had a long line. And then the killer that really surprised me, which I never would have thought I'd see in a Walmart in China or any supermarket in China, is actually video number 5. And this was amazing. It's prepare your own noodles. There's a refrigerator with all the little parts, eggs, leaves, pork, chicken, all cut up, ready. You take a little tray, you put it in there. Now, anyone who's been to Hong Kong or Taiwan knows this. You can get this at lots of stands, deep fried or noodles. You pick your own stuff, give it to the service provider, and she cooks it in. But this is built into the Walmart store. You walk around.
So you can see just in the video there, because I am thinking, Clyde, you know, you and I and Jane, you know, we're real familiar with this. But in the video, you see real nicely. There's literally, it's just like fresh produce, leaves that are just chopped up and ready to eat, and you just go along like a sort of pick and mix for candies and pull out what you want to make a meal. Sorry, Clyde, I just...
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think if you've not been to Asia, you haven't seen these things. They're just so common on the street, and I've never, ever seen a big retailer integrate it like Walmart has. I was really blown away. And there was a line of people. You can see it's busy. People are all lining up, getting their own stuff. They take it around. The service provider lady there, she just digs through and adds up a price based on the things you got. There's no weighing involved. It's not so detailed. I really think it's probably not super accurate, which anyone who's been to Taiwan knows. You don't get accurate prices all the time. You buy twice, you might get two different prices. She throws it in the boiling water, and you got your noodles there. I was totally blown away. And it's not to be eaten there. It's put into a container in a bag. There's no place to eat. This is takeaway.
Is there a choice of noodles?
Yes.
The type of noodles?
Yep, there were different noodles you could choose.
That's very localized.
Isn't it? The only thing I've seen like this would be sometimes at restaurants, they have like a stand and you can put your own noodles in there. You can cook your own noodles. Like you pick what you want, you put it in there, and you can do it. But even that's not very common, even in Taiwan. But, you know, you do it on the street. I was just really impressed. Even in Hong Kong, I've not seen anything like this. James, have you ever seen anything like this so deep in the store, so integrated?
No, I mean, the only one that made me think about something closest to this was the one we saw in Hong Kong, where they had the butchers in that sort of small local hypermarket format.
Yeah, I think that was Shop and Save.
Yeah, it was one of those, and it was in the a Hong Kong store, but it wasn't buried so deeply, and it wasn't so orientated towards ready-to-eat food delivery, customized, just like this. I thought this I've never seen before in this kind of format. You get something simple sometimes, like a sausage or a hot dog maybe, but something that involves that kind of range of choice of fresh, and then the cooking process, and then getting it to the customer. No, this was really something quite different.
Yeah, I was really blown away. I really enjoyed it. My wife couldn't believe it. She was blown away. Her response was, our daughter would love to live in Shanghai because she likes Walmart in Texas, but she can't find Chinese food. In fact, in Texas, they even discontinued certain Chinese, you know, they're testing products all the time, certain Chinese products such as dumpling skins, can't get those anymore. You get them at one time. Certain kinds of doujiang you can't get anymore. But here, everything on the shelf was Chinese ingredients. And I can really see now, some Westerners have told me, they don't like to shop at Walmart because they don't feel it's a Walmart. And now it rings a bell because it's like, yeah, totally, it's right on. It's so localized, it's not. Jane, I think you and I were talking a little bit earlier about Walmart's acquisition of a Taiwan supermarket called Trustmart.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think the Trustmart is trying to take advantage of this big brand name in Shanghai. They can try to use the name, and then they can cooperate with Walmart, and then they can take they can benefit from it. I think some of this idea must be from the Trustmart because it's so localized that Walmart has never tried in any of its stores and worldwide. And then I think Trustmart has certain things to do with this layout. So it's like a win-win position for both of them.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Trustmart had many more stores in many locations in China. And what I really think, you know, rings a bell for me is Walmart has grabbed some of these core metaphors. And China's a big place, you know, different behaviors, different values all over the place. But some of these are so core, they're going to work everywhere in China. And that just bringing the market in, the fresh, the serve yourself, get some noodles. I love that involvement. And I can't imagine they came up with this themselves. I think I've got to believe it's a feedback from buying in the Trustmart.
Yeah, I think Walmart is not trying to compete with other hypermarts in Shanghai, not anymore. They are trying to compete with the wet market in the system. They are trying to draw really the customers from the wet market into Walmart to feel like that they can go into a modern design super center, and then they can go in there to purchase some very local food items, ready to eat stuff. And then they can feel that real now stuff, the atmosphere in there. They can feel the excitement. They can get the service like the butchers provide to chopping and then the grinding, all these kind of things. So Walmart is trying to draw the local people from the wet market for sure.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I can't emphasize enough, you know, how easy it is to find wet markets. Even in the modern Shanghai, they're just all over the place. So this is the real competition, and I think that's what I see when I shopped in the Walmart. Their focus is not competing with other hypermarkets. I think this is a little bit the way they are in America, too. They just don't care. They're not competing with others. They're just competing with getting the biggest part of the market, serving the local customers in a way that makes them most happy, and wow, very impressed. I would love to go there. Like I said, Anastasia couldn't join us today. She was in our Walmart show previously. If she saw this, I think she'd be packing her bags to move to Shanghai.
And it's just so, so resonant, isn't it? It just, you can see how it gets customers really excited, really animated. And I think that's always like a little, how should we say, a rule of thumb, you know, if you see customers animated and excited, particularly in the Chinese retail situation, then you know that you're hitting the mark. But when customers are not particularly animated, yeah, they're walking around, they're having a look, then that sort of rule of thumb tells you something's not quite right. And I have to say, when we were there last, walking around some of the Western formats, just at a general retail level, buying clothes and other things, I saw lots of customers that were just having a look, picking something up, putting it down, moving on. They just weren't animated. They just weren't excited. And that kind of rule of thumb tells you here, Walmart's definitely hitting something that's really getting people turned on, getting them fired up.
Totally. Yeah, I agree. I think what's happened is we can see it. I mean, all of us here have been back and forth to China in the last 10, 20 years. We can see the changes. I think a lot of retailers came in and they skimmed the top. You know, they skimmed the very top, this top tier with a lot of money to spend, a lot of money to blow. Now the main market that's left are the regular consumers. These are the people that work, you know, 5-6 days a week. They don't have money to just waste. They're, you know, gift giving and saving face and driving a big car. And it's a little bit of it, but, you know, they have a regular life too. And these guys, these are the real market that's left. And I think Walmart's thinking way ahead on that. And I can imagine lots of your early kind of Western adopters in China would probably not like to shop at Walmart. This is just too downgrade for them, too stepping down too much, too down market.
I think, Clyde, you just hit such a key point, because when you look at China, there's that whole elite, you know, the group that got a rich first, as it were, which is an expression from over there. Some people are going to get rich first. And then, you know, the Western retail moved in, and it was very easy, I think, to operate at that level, because they were drawn to the Western format. They were drawn to the Western pricing, of course, the Western choice of product. But ultimately, when you start to do the math and you say, well, you know, what's the scale of that market versus the big bit in the middle, i.e. the customer that's coming not with a big fortune, who's made their life out of a successful business, then actually the numbers show that that bit in the middle is actually much bigger and much more significant in terms of dollar value than the elite end. And many of these international retailers now are bumping right up against that, where they're hitting the point that they've got to serve the main market rather than the cream at the top. And that means localizing, and that means just doing what Walmart's starting to do so well here. And I think that's just really, really exciting insight.
I think they are trying to get attention from this new rich generation. The new rich generation are still young, and then they are active, and they have some kind of this traditional thought of the old time. They call it the 农贸市场, the wet market, and they have a little extra money to spend, and they like this modern design in the store. So once the Walmart is really getting into this generation, they are going to be very loyal to the market, to the Walmart.
Yeah, great point. Build up that loyalty by tapping on some of those metaphors people are familiar with. Just to wrap up quickly, we've kind of hit the main points. The interesting part of the store, there was an upstairs. Downstairs was all the food. It was a holiday time. Zhongqiujie was coming along with National Day. So there were a lot of gift emphasis going on. Haagen-Dazs was having huge promotions all over Shanghai. James, you and I were seeing it everywhere. And I finally figured out it's because the holidays coming up, people give this stuff as gifts. They had a big promotion in Walmart. But you go upstairs to the other stuff, the dry goods, and very unimpressive. Not very full, not very packed, not many shoppers, not much going on. And you have to kind of, you know, make some common sense. Why would you buy a T-shirt in Walmart when the only reason you buy it in the U.S. is because you're getting it cheap because it's made in China? You get the same T-shirt somewhere else, probably cheaper in Shanghai. So not a lot of action there. I do have to say that the prices were okay, but I think my son was telling me easily could do better other places outside. And the food downstairs was definitely a little bit higher than you can find out on the street and other locations, but not talking double, maybe one-third range.
Yeah, I've never kind of got this next floor up, really, because it looks from the photos like this is a purpose-built setup for Walmart. And so why they don't just stick to the first two levels, I don't know. In fact, in Tesco in Taiwan, several of the Tesco formats had that same kind of issue. They'd have the food and then this either second or third level where it was kind of a nothing space. They'd usually rent it out to small boutiques, but, it was not adding too much to the store, really.
Yeah, I think here you can see the pictures. I think they're starting around 34, 35, 36 and up. Nothing exciting. In fact, I think it's even hard to see many customers in my photos. And they did. They had boutiques setting up and other places selling there. And basically, I think it's just, it's almost the opposite, James. This is what amazes me. It's almost a complete upside down of the Taiwan situation. Instead of here in Taiwan where people are driven to the dry goods and the food, besides the snacks and the box stuff, the fresh food is kind of secondary. Here, the main part of the store is definitely the fresh food, and the dry goods is secondary and not getting much action.
Do you hear a lot of noises going on the second floor? Like those sounds out of these bullhorns?
Nope, there was nothing going on. It was totally dead. You go up there, all of a sudden it's quiet.
Do you hear music in the background?
There is music playing through the whole store, the same music that plays downstairs, which is kind of Cantonese and some Chinese kind of pop song kind of stuff.
So up on that next floor, is that where you find all the Westerners? Looking for a bit of calm and peace.
There you go. Good point. Look at picture 37. They have a big display for mops, these kind of mops. You could go out down the street and you buy mops so cheap. Do you really need a plastic handle with a plastic end and all this? I think this stuff is a tough sell.
I think for me, Jane's just hit the real punchline here that, they're not competing with international, but they're competing with the wet market. And I think that's really, really, for me, is the real punchline point from the Walmart experience here that we've been talking about.
Yes, that's a good point. Last thoughts, Jane? Any last thoughts?
Well, I think Walmart is trying to go into the local community in Shanghai. They are trying to do everything they could to bring people, especially the young, the new rich generation, into the store. And then they are going to expand. They are going to grab these customers for sure. I think they are doing really good, and then they are going to stand in this very competitive market for sure. And they are going to have a certain enough customers to sustain the business.
Yeah, it looks that way to me. James, any final thoughts?
Well, I think I've really hit it, which is just that they're the retailer that have finally clocked the fact that customers love the wet market format. They love the idea of being able to touch produce, use all their senses when they're buying, particularly fresh produce. They love the idea of bargains and all these things, and this whole wet market format that for years people have said, look, it's going to die. Look, modernity is coming in the way of all these Western formats. These guys have finally peeped around the corner, and they said, after 20 years of saying it's going to die, it's even bigger, it's even stronger than ever. Hey, we need to go and get a piece of that market. And finally, Walmart's come in. They've acknowledged this is the way forward, and they're starting to chew on the wet market space. Really nice.
Yeah, great. That's perfect. So we'll sum that up. Close the show here, and stay tuned. Next time, we're going to have a show on Shanghai, but this time Tesco, which is our European competitor to Walmart. So see you then. Thanks a lot, guys.
See you.
Bye.
This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Our website is ccc.qbook.tv, where you can find other audio and video episodes with photos, links, and information related to today's conversation. Subscribe to leave comments and access research episodes with applied topics and research reports.